Hi, besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag because we are semi-qualified to speak on it.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Cynthia Kiss.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens. We're back.
We are back, baby. We are back. Mm-hmm. Our Wi-Fi connection is semi-qualified.
This is the thing.
This is the thing. Those software updates, you just click mm-hmm. them thinking it's going to be a breeze, it's going to be okay. And then all of a sudden you're like, whose computer is this? And why is it shittier than before? I thought an update makes things better.
Yeah, we've had this is our second time recording our intro because you were having some problems.
Oh, my computer said no. Literally, we started and it just like everything went black. It like literally shut down. So this was a fun day for podcasting. I felt like I had to really piece together lots of our interview, but that's okay. That's okay. That's life. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes you just gotta, mm-hmm. you just gotta roll with those punches.
Yeah.
But speaking of punches, when were you punched last, Juice? How are you?
I'm good. And also, shout out to our editor, Anthony, who's going to do a lot of Frankensteining on this episode.
Yeah. Thank you,
especially,
babe.
Yeah, with me talking over Cynthia at some point, because I think I spoke over you for that entire sentence that you just said. But I'm good. I'm really good. I recently got a new gig. I'm working at Orange Theory now. So I'm in training for that. And it's been super fun to kind of like have something outside of drag. It's kind of cool, you know? So I'm really enjoying that. Yeah.
That's very fun.
Yeah. But it's busy because I'm training for that. I'm also editing our next season, which is coming up super soon. And just trying to like live my life. So.
Are we like girl bossing too close to the sun?
I'm girl bossing a little too close to the sun. But with that being said, I actually saw Jasmine Kennedy streaming on Twitch last night. And it was so nice to just like sit and watch somebody stream. And it made me like sad because I was like, oh, I love streaming. And I haven't done it in months. So I think after I finish doing a lot of this editing and training, I want to go back to Twitch. I think that's where my
Twitch. You've got to. You're a natural there. They love you. Get back on the streams.
Thank you.
We would love that.
I know. I love it. I love streaming so much. And it's like my time to like sit and game and talk to my community and stuff. So it's fun. But how are you?
Oh my goodness. I'm good. I haven't been girl bossing too close to the sun, but rather sitting out in tanning under the sun.
Oh, it must be nice.
I was in Nevada, Vegas for a fun little vacation with my honey bun, my Vincent. So we went last week. We checked out areas off of the strip. We went to the Arts District, which is a really cool spot for like vintage shopping. And I ran into the one, the only Pangina Heels. And this is actually a funny story because I ran into her multiple times. The first time I was too shy and I didn't say anything because I didn't know if she knows me. I didn't even know if she recognized me. But Vincent, my partner, actually recognized her friends first and then clocked Pangina out of drag because last year we were neighbors at DragCon in DragCon LA. So there is sort of a connection there, but I'm neurotic. I'm weird. I didn't say hi right away. Later that day, we run into her friends and her at another vintage shop, but the sun was in my eyes and I couldn't tell it was her. So basically, I've run into Pangina twice at this point in Las Vegas.
No
highs have been said because I'm apparently just too shy to talk.
Oh my God.
We go to the Dita Von T show, my partner and I. It's fantastic. It's amazing. If you ever can go see it, go see it. I saw her in a martini glass. Dreams were made. We finish the show and I turn around. Who's behind me? Pangina Heels. At this point, it's we're stalking each other. So I finally say hi. She's a doll. She's super polite, professional. And she gives us tickets to RuPaul's Drag Race Live. And so we literally got to sit front row, watch Derek Barry, Pangina, Latrice. It was an amazing night and the perfect fucking trip. So
how Pangina, was the show?
Thank you. Honestly, so much fun. Literally. Asia wore 14 costumes.
Okay, so here's what I wanted to say. I am such an Asia fan. What was it like to watch
Asia? She's amazing. She's so good. She doesn't skip a beat. She is one of the strongest hosts I have ever watched. She's obviously improvising, but it feels like written material. It's just, she's a dream. She's a dream.
I'm so jealous. I'm such an Asia fan. I've always wanted to see Asia live. So I'm like, love that, you know?
And I cannot emphasize the costume changes. There were times where she would be on the mic. She would do a cute little gag. And she's wearing like Las Vegas costumes. She would go backstage for probably 30 seconds and come out in a new costume. I like, my mind was blown.
It's like it down to so a impressive. Science.
Truly down to a science. When I saw her at the meet and greet, I had to ask. I was like, how many costumes was that? She's like, 14. It's incredible. It's incredible
did
show.
Did everybody recognize you from Canada's Drag Race, or was there a few thinking that you were just a fan? I need to know. I need to know.
Why does everyone think I'm this like super duper famous person? No, no one knows who I am. Like, even Kendall was like, did they shout you out during the show? I was like, they did not. Like, I'm just chill. I'm just me. I'm doing my thing. I love drag. But like, I think Pangina obviously recognized me because we were talking about the tickets. But I don't think these girlies necessarily know all the queens up north. Which I don't take as an insult. They're busy doing their thing. I'm here to appreciate it. And that's all that matters to me. But no, it wasn't like, oh my God, hi, Cynthia Kiss. Which is okay. Which is super
I would
okay.
have spiraled for days.
Oh, no, you can't. You can't. Oh, you know, it's spiraled. Like, oh my goodness, no. But that maybe I felt a little bit of that at the vintage shop with Pangina when I didn't say hi. That's when I was guess, like, yeah. Oh, I don't know if
but
like.
She's so nice.
Well, she follows you, babe. She doesn't follow me. I checked.
She's so sweet though. Pangina's just one of the kindest people in the world.
Oh yeah, she's great. And live, really, really strong performer.
Yes. But you know who else is kind?
Our guest today.
Yes. We have the incredibly talented winner of season 11 of RuPaul's Drag Race, Evie Oddly, here to promo their new book all about Evie Into the Oddity. I'm excited.
Oh my God. You've got her number, right? You should hit her up. Let's call her.
I'll give him a call. Beep boop beep boop beep, beep boop, 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 boop.
Winner of RuPaul's Drag Race season 11, our flexi and sexy sister, Evie Oddly. Welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens.
Hello. Oh, thanks for having me. Thanks for making the space.
No, oh, are you kidding me? Anything for you. Listen to that sexy voice.
You say anything. Whoa, watch out. I haven't had my coffee yet. My mind is active.
Oh, work. What time is it for you? One?
Okay, I don't need you to be calling out time like that. Like it's a real thing. Like it's anything more than a construct.
Exactly. I love that. So, Evie, let's just dive right into it. How are you? How's life?
I am really lovely. It's I'm still alive.
Good.
I think that is a great place to start. I woke up, I breathed some air this morning at 1 o'clock.
Time check.
I'm just, you know, yeah, right? Whatever. I'm pretty fucking lovely, which is amazing because, you know, I think sometimes it's easy to wake up and feel overwhelmingly bad about, like, the world, your life, and whatever this thing, that thing is, your crushed dreams. And for some strange reason, I feel really, really good and optimistic. I've been working a lot. My tits are getting bigger. Like, oh. What more you need?
Babe, tits getting bigger is my drive in life.
I know. You're a gym baby.
I'm a gym girly. Yeah, I actually did chest this morning. So
so you know the tits getting bigger life.
It's such a struggle. It's so hard.
It actually is. It actually is a little bit. I would totally be a gym girly too. But the thing is, I don't want my arms or my shoulders to get bigger. Just the breast meat.
Oh, totally. Oh, I know. But
you gotta be a Pilates girly like me.
Oh,
Pilates.
That won't get your chest bigger.
No, but she was talking about
the lean arms. No, isn't that like asser size?
Basically.
Oh, it'll lean up the arms. You'll get the Miley Cyrus lean arms. Yeah. Yeah. Now, speaking of Miley Cyrus lean arms, how does it feel to beat Brooklyn Heights at anything? You know?
Honestly, the older I get, the more wrong it feels that it ever happened, I'm like, ooh.
What? Oh, no. I think it's fabulous.
don't get me wrong. I thought it was fabulous. I still think it is fabulous. It is, like, the shining thing on my resume. Like, I beat the host of Canada's Drag Race. That's the reason she has that job.
Fully. Right. Fully
and truly. No, it's pretty it's pretty fucking magical, though. Are you kidding me? Like, Brooklyn is quite literal perfection. Mm-hmm. And so, like, to know that you are a fuck up piece of shit mistake human being, and once in your life that was good enough to beat somebody who is, like, built to do this. She was literally, no shade to Canada, no shade to you, but, like, she was literally an implant. She was an industry plant that Canada sent down and was like, "You're going to take over Drag Race,"
and you said, "Nar."
I did this for the U.S. of me.
I love that. Oh my God.
So you've won Drag Race. You've been back on All Stars. Would you say your time?
It was worth it, and it's never gonna nothing.
Oh shit! Oh, sorry. Ooh. I think that was a delay. My leggy. I think that was
my
a delay.
I'm so sorry. No, but I wanted to ask: would you ever be open to going back to the Thunderdome, Evie?
I mean, my pride and my ego are definitely still a little bit hurt after my last experience. So,
oh really?
Yeah. I mean, I've not exactly been super silent about the fact that I wished my time there was portrayed a little bit more different.
Yeah,
a little closer to reflect how I was feeling most of the time, what I was going through. But the big thing is, for any of that to happen, for me to go back, I just feel like a shift needs to happen with the way that drag is even judged on that show. And I will say, I've seen a lot happening in like the grander scheme of things since I bitched out the producers on Twitter last year like an adult.
Well, sometimes they need to hear it, you know?
I mean, I know that going on social media and stirring shit up is not necessarily the right way to get a point across. It's not the adult thing to do. You're supposed to send them an email with a memo, to text your assistant, to follow up with the meeting. But, you know, I'm really passionate about this show. Look what it's done for all of these queers everywhere who don't deserve anything. Mm-hmm. You don't deserve anything.
No.
I don't deserve anything. And look what it's given us. Mm-hmm. A podcast.
Oh my God. I was laughing now, Drag Race. I got a podcast. Oh my God. Yeah, I love that. No, but I get it. But I think sometimes you need to just have your voice be heard, and sometimes you just got to be the loudest one in the room. And if that means jumping on Twitter and screaming about it, you got to jump on Twitter and scream about it, you know?
I mean, that was also the thing is, they knew what they were doing when they crowned me as a human being. Like, I spent a whole season fighting with absolutely everybody just because I hadn't had my coffee then either, because they weren't allowing me to smoke weed on set.
I know, they should change that.
They knew they were crowning some messy bitch, but I will say I still do have so much respect for that show, and I'm excited to, like, always see what goes on with it and what goes on with that world, because it's so influential and it's so important to me. And so I'm trying to keep all of my shit talking down to a casual, comfortable level, except for in my book.
Yeah, I was going to say, we are going to get there. But before we do, you went on your debut one-woman show, Strange Love. Can you kind of give us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So this all came out of the fact that when I did All Star 7, when I went back, I was working with, you know, queens who have been doing this for a minute, who had represented the brand for like a decade now, who have been out working their pussies. And I realized that I had never thought of trying to like sell myself or market myself as one person who's capable of doing a whole show on their own. I was like, no, I need to be with like all the girls so we can kiki in the dressing room and shade each other and get wasted. Or whatever drag queens do. I don't know.
that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. But I mean, it's so intimidating to just go out on your own and be on stage the whole time, just you.
Okay, but you know what's crazy about that is I think that in all of our tiny little drag hearts, there's one part of us that dreams about that, or you would never fall into an art form where it is literally all about you. Like, this is your 3 minutes, bitch. Go out and kill that lip sync. Whip that hair like your dad's not going to beat you for it later.
Oh my god.
Everyone loves the attention deep down. I think that's a very good point, Evie. Everyone does have a one-woman show within them. I feel like it's just
unlocking that like in yourself and finding a space where you realize that you are capable of filling up a stage by yourself. You're capable of filling up an hour. Like even beneath the wigs and the makeup, there are ideas in your head that somebody out there can relate to. And needs to hear or doesn't need to hear. So you know what? I originally wrote this whole show about Valentine's Day and about love. And that was so fun because this offered me this opportunity to continually change this show. Because, you know, your ideas and your feelings are always changing. I started out with a crunchy little show where I like ran through the audience and like licked my nipples. And I ended up with this really beautiful, like, insight in that how I felt about love and all these different aspects, where I ran through the audience and licked my nipples.
I'm glad that stayed. I'm really happy that stayed. Yeah, that feels like an integral part of the show.
I workshop not doing it, but it just didn't have the zazz.
Like your own nipple?
Yeah, you can't do that. Like
you can't see me right now, but I'm trying. But.
The titties just have to grow a little bit more juice. And
I got really close, but okay.
Yeah, either the titties have to grow or you just have to have an unnecessary amount of nipple skin. So you just like,
oh my God, real. Putting that in the fitness goals. Lick own nipple. Screw sucking your own dick. I want to lick my own nipples.
It gets you places, I promise.
Oh my God. I could win Drag Race.
You can win Drag Race if you can lick your own nipple.
So your new book, All About Evie, Into the Oddity, is coming out. What can readers expect from this new book?
Trauma.
Ooh.
Trauma.
Trauma. The highest form of trauma. High trauma, low trauma, low-key, high trauma. No, It's kind of funny because this book felt like therapy. So, you know, I think anybody who's ever curious to get to know more about us, but doesn't know where to find us off of RuPaul's Drag Race, loves to like be fed little snippets of information about all the trauma that made you the beautiful, messy, chaotic individual that you are. And so that's what this whole book has been, you know? It's just... it was like therapy. It was like therapy going in and unlocking these things and being like, oh, wow, like, that's why I'm gay. That's my root right there.
Wow. So what inspired you to kind of start this journey and to kind of start this sort of idea of a book or a memoir?
It's something I've definitely wanted to do, even pre-Drag Race, pre any sort of acclaim of any sort. I was like a little kid and I was like, damn, my life is going to be so lit in book form. It was like after I just read The Diary of Anne Frank and I was like, oof.
Same bestie.
I know I can top this.
Yeah, I am far more interesting.
Oh my God.
You know, I can.
Yeah,
I haven't even gone through puberty yet, and I know I'm going to kill this shit.
Fuck.
Poor choice of words.
We're going to blow Anne Frank out of the water with this.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. No, it's just something I always wanted to do. But, you know, I feel like the type of artist I am is I'm somebody who works really good with a catalyst. Like, I've got the ability to, like, let my mind go into a bunch of places, but I need the assignment, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not good at open book.
Ooh, I like Ooh. That. Was the catalyst perhaps Michael Bach in this situation?
I was going to say, in this situation, the catalyst was Michael Bach, who is a best-selling author on his own right, used to be / is a drag queen, so understands the world of doing too much for just enough.
Nice.
And is like a fan of the show. And I was honored that somebody who had seen every episode of Drag Race and had watched every one of Rue's three trillion girls who have walked through her doors wanted to find out more about my story. And he really did. He got in there. He talked with my mom, my dad, my friends, my friends' dads.
Oh my God. He really did. Oh my God, I love that.
Silky and Brooklyn, like he was such a delight to work with, because I think he's curious about all the things. And not only did he get my trauma, he got other people's trauma.
Oh my God.
This week's episode is sponsored by Factor Meals. I know what it's like to be a busy girl boss on the go. Cooking for yourself can be super tricky. This is why we love Factor. Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door, baby. You'll have over 35 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan, and veggie. They've got everything. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your week even more delicious. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and have a feel-good week of meals ready to go. Head to factormeals.com/SQQ50 and use code SQQ50 to get 50% off. That's code SQQ50 at factormeals.com/SQQ50. To get 50% off, baby. That's a good deal.
So it's just trauma front to back in this book.
Trauma and porn. So it's like trauma porn. It's trauma and then my sexcapades.
Oh, wow. Is there like a full, like is there like a fold out, you know, when you open it?
There is in the special editions. You have to get the VIP package, allabouteevee.com, but then you have to type in XXX and go to the dark web.
Oh, nice. Okay. I was going to say the centerfold, the Evie centerfold in the middle.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It folds out. It's just my dick, but it doesn't ever actually show the tip because it's just folded up around the book again.
Good. People are now going to be visiting your website being like XXX.
I hope so. Some of that was real.
Nice. What was the most challenging part about writing this?
It was having to tell the truth. Having to tell the truth. I am a drag queen, so I love lying. You get it. Like, just admitting that, I know, was the hardest thing you ever did. Right there. Girl. But like, that was it. It was like trying to hold myself accountable, and instead of just being like, well, I felt this way, being like, well, this is what happened and I did feel this way, but I just accidentally burnt my house down, you know? I just did it, and it wasn't the full house, like, so calm down.
It was only the basement.
Wait, did you burn your house down? Is that something in the book?
I don't remember if that made it in the book, but it's like one of my formative life stories. Yes, I burnt the back of my house down as a kid.
I hope it made it in the book. Oh my God.
I hope so too. I hope so too, because that's the reason I didn't have a college fund. So it'd be really nice if that helped pay off.
Oh my God. That's insane. That's dirty.
During the writing process, did you have any unforeseen self-discoveries, that things that kind of popped up like a mirror for you, Evie?
That's really the best part about this book, is every single step of the way has been that. First in like having these interviews, because Michael and I just like did a bunch of Zoom meetings for months. It really was like therapy. We just sit down and be like, okay, first of all, how's your week been? And then how was it competing on season 11 with all these bitches who hated you? How did you feel about the fans?
Oh, so, God.
yeah, right? So it was unlocking a lot of things just by, like, digging back into whatever the specific topics were. But what really shocked me the most is when I got to read the first draft of the book, there was so much I had blanked out of my own life and so much I didn't even know about, like, how I got here, why I'm named who I am, like, what the fuck was going on when I was a kid, and you know, all the memories are just a little blurry and colorful. So it's been a journey of, like, self-discovery and calling my parents and being like, excuse me, why the fuck didn't you ever tell me this, huh?
You're like, I needed a private investigator to tell me about my own life.
So you think it's just cool to tell the whole world why I'm named after some shitty cologne before you tell me why I'm named after some shitty cologne?
Which cologne?
Jovan Musk. I first came across it on the shelves of Walmart. I was like, aha, that's my name. And my mom was like, move along, bitch.
Oh my God. What do your parents think about the book?
I don't think they've read final copies yet, because ooh, I'm afraid to come out to them. I'm not ready for that moment yet.
No, not yet. Not ready.
No, I do have to send them copies, though. That way they can tell me if there's anything they don't want in there, and I can tell them, well, too bad. That means it's going to sell more.
I was going to say, because it's coming out very soon.
You know, I think it talked about how slutty my mom was at one point. I was like, yes, bitch, you go out there, you fucking slut it up. Who's my daddy? I don't know.
It's a Maury episode.
Oh, God. See, but that's the kind of shit. I didn't know how much my life was a Maury episode because I was a baby, and apparently we don't have very good memories then.
No, yeah. I don't think you get them until you're like 4.
That's because before then you're too busy perceiving the universe. I think babies have to be incredibly intelligent, and I don't know why, but I think they're just sitting there being like, we are all one. Whoa. I just shit myself. I'm hungry. And that sounds like peak intelligence to me.
I think so.
The bullshit.
Yeah. What are we doing shitting in toilets? I should shit myself right here.
I've thought about it. I've thought about shitting you right here, too.
So how long was the whole writing process? Would you say it was a couple months with Michael?
That was just the interview process. Was a couple of months, and then a couple more months trying to, like, nail down any other drag queens, you know, like, trying to wrangle them, be like, no, come here, come say a few words. like bribing them with like joints and like little bottles of tequila. Like, look, I got you a shooter, girl.
just sit still.
Sit still for 5 minutes.
It was a couple of months of that. And then this is really bad because I have no perception of time, but it could have been 1 month or like 1 year. Of working the tone and stuff, because, you know, Michael, like I said, is a best-selling author on his own right. And he was like, should I really be writing a story about this tall, crossy faggot? I am a best-selling author. Do I want to mar my work with Evie Oddly?
Yes, of course we do.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually we came to that conclusion. We were like, no, you're going down on this sinking ship, Michael. You're in.
You're stuck. You're stuck with me.
You already told me you loved me.
You signed the contract.
It was also interesting though, literally being a part of the process that was like, oh, I don't want that in the book, but like, can we maybe like get some more perspectives on that? Mm. Or did you talk to anybody else on this? Or it's a very fully fleshed out and very fully thought out book that gaily made me cry.
Oh yeah, it's a tearjerker.
Oh, it's a lot of things, jerker. It is a picture book too.
I could only imagine it's of all kind of projects to do to the memoir. It's you really stripping back layer after layer after layer. So daily tears to me makes complete sense.
Yeah, especially when, you know, you're already such a fragile little bimbo that daily tears are your breakfast. You wake up and you're like, I have to go to work today. I paid a tax.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm so angry at taxes. This always happens after tax season for me. It's just my personality for a few months after is how bitter I am that the government hates me.
I'm doing my taxes right now. I get it. It's the worst.
Like literally as we speak, you're like, yeah, cool. Whatever you said. Click, clack, click, clack. Like,
they just hear my typing in my numbers. Right now. I made this much and my expenses were most of my income.
You know.
So question about the book. Back to the book. Is there an audio version so we can hear your laugh throughout the entire book?
Oh my god, that is so rude. I already know that that's what people want. They're not even gonna listen to like the parts where I'm reading. They're just gonna rewind my laugh and masturbate.
It's such a good laugh.
you say that until people like ask you for your laugh. You're just like walking down the street and they're like, oh my god, you're that bitch.
Really?
Do your laugh for me. Ew. Do your laugh. You know what? Do your laugh. And I'm like, I always feel bad because I'm like, well, then do your funny.
Yeah, I was like, be funny then.
Funny. You can't just like prod a laugh out of someone. Are you kidding me? That's like just prodding suicide out of someone. Nope. Like, you know, do your kill yourself for me. I can't
do that.
I can't make you do that. I can be the person who's telling you that it's rude to tell somebody to laugh, and then that sends you home and you go and think about it and the fact that you're a terrible person and you've made all the wrong life decisions, and then you get to jump off the bridge yourself.
and then I will laugh.
And
what's sick is that usually does make me laugh.
Oh good. So they get it at the end of the day.
Get it. I just have to say some really sick shit to get there first and remind myself that you're not the only fucked up person in this situation. We both are. We share that responsibility.
Responsibility. Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm glad we made it back there. Yeah.
So will you be heading into the recording studio to read the memoirs aloud?
Oh, I never answered the question. Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. So that's the thing is yes.
Yes.
Yay. Yes. Yes, I will. I definitely want to put out an audiobook, especially because I'm an ADD person and I need people talking at me while I'm doing things. Same. That's how I get information, you know? So I'm definitely going to do that. I'm just working on the impressions, you know, because it has lots of interviews with everybody else. And right now my Brooklyn Heights isn't very good.
It's how's like, your silky?
I I was ready to do so. Fuck yeah, no, okay.
I thought it was
still thinking Snatch Game might not be my thing.
No, I thought it was great. I thought it was fabulously done. No.
That's because I was, you know what's bad is I feel like whenever I'm trying to do impersonations of people, it just shows how bad of an actor I am, and I can't just let the world have that like that. You know, I won an acting competition in high school by rubbing some Vapo Rub underneath my eyeballs and crying on stage. And I'm
classic
not ready
trick.
To, not ready to lose that title I worked so hard for.
Now, are you going to be doing like a book tour at all, like traveling around, reading like excerpts and stuff?
I am. Ooh. That is all in the works. You know, I've got some ideas for names. I've got an idea for what I think I'm going to call this tour. I'm already calling book stores and trying to hawk my books at them. I'm like, hey man, you want to buy some books? They're real good books. Like, look at this shit. It's really green. Look,
and it's very green.
It's so green, man. Want to smell it? Oh, that's some good book, bro. So I'm working on that tour. It's nothing official because I'm not trying to ruin my own PR, but it's looking like it's probably going to be happening July, nice. August. And there might be another project, another show going along with it.
Ooh, that's cool, exciting.
Cool. You know, I got addicted after Strangelove. I was like, no, now I just want to be showing all the time. I just want to work this pussy alone and kiss drag queens backstage, like God intended.
That's the best way to go about things. That's all me and Cynthia do backstage is kiss.
Yep.
I know. I've seen. Yeah. I've watched.
It's all we do.
Yeah. I bet you actually do, though. They can record it.
No.
No?
No.
Not even once?
No. No.
Y'all aren't real sisters. These bitches are out here selling lies. Do not believe them. They don't like each other. They've never tongued while coming through each other's 613s.
Oh my God. 613s fully. Oh my God. Hilarious.
So when does the book officially come out?
She officially comes out June 19th, 2024, nice. The year of our Lord.
Yes.
Pride Month.
Yes.
Juneteenth.
Oh.
It's gonna be a hot read for when you're coming down after all of your pride parties and you're like, oh, I've been boiling in the sun for 3 days or whatever. You can just sit there and you can open my book and you can start reading it and then decide, I was never going to read. And you can just look at the pictures. You can look at the pictures and the pretty pictures will bring you back to earth. They will save you from that K-hole girl.
It's the perfect come down read.
No. It really is. Yeah. That's what I've been doing every night.
You're like, pass me my book, please.
Let me just look at it. And they're like, that's the Bible.
Now, these visuals we're talking about, are they a retrospective or did we do like new photo shoots
like new
for the book itself?
I'm excited because I think, and I don't know how y'all feel about this, but one of the coolest parts of getting on Drag Race for me was becoming art. Like, yes, of course, we're artists and our drag is art and cack, 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 art changed the world or whatever. But like getting to go online and seeing that somebody else took the time to draw you instead of doing their homework is cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So, you know, I've got a drawing or two in here, but most of the pictures in this book are from incredibly, incredibly talented fans. And
oh, wow.
I think that's so cool. It's so cool. I paid them. I paid my artists.
Yeah, you did.
Like, I was like, hey, you want some exposure? I'm gonna pay you if people read my book. It pays both of us. Aww. No, it was actually really nice to, like, because that was my thing being a young artist, is I wanted any opportunity to get my work in the world and to hopefully make at least a little coin off of it. So all the pictures in the book are from the lovely individuals who are psychotic, followed the links that I put on my social media, and then spammed it with like 30 variations of each drawing.
Wow, that's incredible.
It really is. I love Shout that. Out to you, psychotic fans. Thank you for loving us and our hot, hot bodies.
Oh my God, you make me laugh. Oh, that's good. That's so sweet of you to add all that in. That's an incredible way to kind of envelop your community within your memoir. I love that.
Right? And it's perfect also because, at least for me as an artist, I never kept any of my art. Mm. Anything that I ever had of mine was destroyed, like got peed on.
Nice.
And so this is a way to like immortalize a bunch of other people's art, and also immortalize those two times I went on television when I was young and sexy, back when I was the high school quarterback.
Were you a high school quarterback?
Like on Drag Race? Yeah, oh. That was my high school quarterback moment, bitch. I was MVP.
Sorry,
we were down.
I got the vision.
For a second, I was just like, I thought you actually were the high school quarterback, and I was like,
you
go
thought
off,
my
bitch.
Noodle ass ever played a sport where like the goal is to tackle people?
I didn't,
like, they're
didn't
trying
to
break each other.
I didn't want to assume. What if you were?
Oh my god. No, but could you imagine the life I'd be leading right now? I'd be in the NFL.
I think you would. I know.
Probably still on this podcast though.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, yeah. same thing. Yeah. We cover NFL stuff on our other podcast.
Oh my god. Yeah. I have to say, I felt like such a straight guy recently, because I had a gig during the finale of season 16. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like glued to my phone during the gig, like in between my numbers, like texting my husband, being like, "What happened, man? You gotta tell me. Did Safira get another touchback?
Our Super Bowl.
Seriously.
Yeah. Legitimately, it was also very rude of anybody to have an event on any finale of any Drag Race.
I know. Selfish.
How dare you? How dare you do that?
Yeah, very
to
selfish.
The people you love.
They have to be here with you instead of watching the finale at home.
Oh, you know, God. Yeah, and then you're just like glued to the phone. You start texting your side bitches. You fall off the wagon again. You realize that your life is going to shambles. You've bet everything on this one last game. And then you realize that you were rooting for the girl who went home first, and that you've actually been out of it for weeks.
First Oak Earlies, we're the one. I appreciate it.
Listen, like I said, you were rooting for her, but you did not realize that she was kicked off yet. You were like, why don't they ever show that bitch anymore? What happened to that juice box?
Hershey's just sitting at home, just meh, meh. You know?
Oh my god. I will say there is a certain amount of like deep heartbreak and sorrow for everyone looking at the girl who goes first, but the fans will never understand the true amount of deep sorrow, because we all just like get to our dreams, and for the first time we're like, yes, this is amazing, but somebody gets their dream crushed right there, and you get to hear them cry while you or Brooklyn or whoever the fuck is being like, all right, now let the music play. No! How?
You just hear the screaming in the back.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, wow, this is going to be a long season.
Oh. Oh my god, buddy.
I love the way you paint with words. I'm mm-hmm. very excited for this book, Evie. You are
Thank you.
Are
you. Thank color. You. It's
Speaking of season, it's the drugs. Our most recent season, do you have any advice to our new winner, Nymphia?
No, I She seems like the perfect person in my head to win. I guess if I was going to give her any advice, it would be the same advice that everybody gave me that I'm still learning how to take, which is do it for you. Make sure you're doing things for you. Make sure you're making yourself happy. Don't try too hard to please anyone or everyone, or don't feel like you owe it to anyone to live up to anything. Like, bitch, you already won. You already did your thing. And start wearing really ugly outfits, you know? Just start wearing sweatpants to the gig.
Tea. Be comfortable.
It'll be good for your career and mine.
I love it. Well, Evie, this has been so fun, and we're so excited to really dive into that book. Is there anything that you want to tell our listeners before you go?
Thank you for listening. I'm sorry about how loud the laughs got. also, follow me on social media. I'm Oddly Evie everywhere except for TikTok, because somebody has that name on TikTok, so I'm not on TikTok.
Fair. Whoever has that name, give it back.
Yeah, you piece of shit ass human being, you terrible person. If you give it back to me, I'll give you a copy of All About Evie,
hey,
which you can get at allaboutevie.com. I think that's my plug.
Yeah, I was going to say that last that last plug was 10 out of 10, solid. But thank you so much. We are so excited to dive into All About Evie, Into the Oddity, coming out on June 19th.
June 19th, baby!
June 19th, 2024. We will see you then. Bye, Diva.
Bye, Diva. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. That laugh. Oh, that laugh. She's got to record the audio version of the book pronto, because we need to hear it. Evie Oddly, what a treat, eh?
Well, at one point they would cut out because the laugh would get so loud that I just...
It peaked.
It would peak and I just wouldn't hear anything anymore.
Oh, no. No, it was delightful. Yeah, absolutely. No, it was fun. So funny. I think this book is so cool, the way that they're incorporating fan art, that it is just such a special, cool thing when people take the time to draw us, and mm-hmm. then the way it can be celebrated in this book. It's a really, really clever project for Evie to do.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of fun when, like, queer people are able to have that kind of platform to be able to showcase how we all live our lives and how we maneuver through spaces differently than straight people. So it's kind of nice to be able to see how Evie is able to portray that in their new book.
And they're such a poet. All the symbolism they were using when they mm-hmm. explained their time on Drag Race as like being the quarterback, and then you literally thought they were a quarterback.
Okay, so what had happened was the audio had cut out because we're having some issues with data. So the audio had cut out, and then all I heard was, and I was the quarterback on the team. So I was just like, oh my God, you're the quarterback? Like, that's where, because I was like, oh fuck, because it had cut out for most of it.
Oh my God, I know. I feel like today's episode is definitely like on a wing and a prayer. Wi-Fi was just an option. It wasn't guaranteed.
Wi-Fi was not guaranteed, but I think we pieced together a really fun episode. And if you guys are looking for more episodes, we are going to be back next week. I know we said we were going to be back this week with new episodes of our season 3, but when Evie's team reached out, we were like, we gotta fit this one in. So next week we are going to be back with our season 1 rewind. We are going to be launching our YouTube channel, so please look out for that. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's semiqualifiedqueenspod, on Twitter at sqqpod, or if you want to email us, it's semiqualifiedqueenspod@gmail.com.
Voice notes are always appreciated. We might slip one in there. You can record at www.speakpipe.com/sqqpod.
And if you want to follow our new YouTube, it's youtube.com/@semiqualifiedqueens. And we are looking forward to seeing you next week for more Semi-Qualified Queens. Have a good week. Bye.
Mwah! Love ya.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.